Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we are talking about how you write a kosher Megillah scroll. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Okay, we're in Yerushalmi, Tractate Megillah, First Mishnah, First Halakha, we're on 1b2. Before we jump into the text, I just want to explain that if you can get your hands on a Megillah scroll, an actual Megillah scroll, and actually take a look at it, you'll understand better what this piece of Talmud is saying. Basically, what the Talmud says is that a Megillah scroll is written with the same ink on the same material, that is parchment, and the same method as a Torah scroll. Now, a Torah scroll is written with first having lines actually etched into the parchment itself, okay? And if your Megillah scroll or your Torah scroll is sufficiently strong and or new, you'll be able to put your hand on the wrong side, the side without the letters, and actually feel the lines. It's not enough for them to just be sort of, sketched there. They're actually drawn into the scroll itself. It's a little bit like how actual engraved invitations are. I'm not talking about invitations where the letters are just raised. That's not actual engraving. Actual engraved invitations is when they actually laid out a metal form with the metal letters and they press the paper into it so that it bulges out and then it's, you know, indented on the backside. So what they're saying is a Megillah has the same writing standards as a Torah scroll. Now it's interesting because a Torah scroll can't be decorated, but Megillah scrolls often are. They're beautiful. They have some lovely, lovely illustrations. So there are some differences. Some differences. Okay. All right. Harehi ka'amita shel Torah. A Megillah is like the actual Torah. Mazot tzricha sirtut. Just as that one needs this scoring, these lines inscribed into them, this other, the Megillah, requires scoring. Mazonit nalehit resh, just as the Torah was given to be expounded, avzonit nalehit resh, so the Megillah was given to be expounded. Okay. Everything makes sense. Good, good, good. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says, Megillah shemasar Shmuel leDavid. The scroll that Samuel gave David, which outlined the structure of the first temple. And the footnote here says, the temple specifications were contained in a scroll that was transmitted by God to Moses. It was passed down through the generations, from Moses to Joshua to the elders to Samuel the prophet, and Samuel gave it to David, who gave it to his son Solomon. This scroll is mentioned in Scripture after reporting that David gave Solomon the plans for the building, 1 Chronicles 28, 11 through 18. The passage concludes with David saying, "Everything is in writing from the hand of God, which he gave me to understand all the works of the plan." Now, unless you're probably somewhat unusual, you probably have never looked at Chronicles. And there's a good reason for that. First and Second Chronicles are sort of a revised telling of the whole kingdom of, and kingship and kingly line of King David. There's some interesting stuff in there, but I don't know. You almost get the feeling that it's a PR piece. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. I think I'll just leave it I think I'll just leave, I'll leave that one there. You can take a look at it for yourself. All right. All right. So this scroll that Samuel gave David, Nitna Lihida Resh, it was given to be expounded. Mata Ama, so what's the scriptural citing for that? Hakol Bichtav, everything is in writing. Zo Hamasorat, that refers to the tradition that is attached to the spelling of the words. Okay. Miyad Adonai, from the hand of God, Zo Ruach HaKodesh. This refers to the divine spirit that was needed to decipher the meaning of the scroll. Alai HaHiskil, which he gave me to understand, Mikan Shnitna Lehi Daresh. From here we learn that it was given to be expounded. Okay, and now we learned that you didn't really need a specific verse to say this business about the divine spirit playing a role, because you get an explicit mention of the divine spirit elsewhere. Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'e, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, V'lama Lenan Amrin, so if they wanted to prove that the divine spirit had something to do with the plan, why didn't they use this verse? V'tafnit kol asher haya baruach imo, and the plan for everything which was by him, which was with him by virtue of the Spirit. That's 1 Chronicles 28, verse 12. David taught Solomon the plans of the temple that he had attained through the Spirit. This presumably refers to the divine Spirit that assisted David in understanding the words of the scroll. Since this verse mentions the Spirit, Rucho, explicitly, why did the Gemara have to derive the role of the divine spirit from the verse quoted above? Okay? In other words, we have a little too much spirit being cited here. And they don't like it when there's too much of some things and not enough of other things. All right. Amar Rabbi Mana, so Rabbi Mana says, Mahu v'ruach. So what does it mean by virtue of ruach, with spirit? Ruach piv. Well, it could mean that David explained the plans to Solomon with the breath of his mouth. All right, so the second verse might refer not to the communication of the plans to David, which was accomplished by means of the divine spirit, but the transmission of the plans from David to Solomon, which was done by David talking to Solomon. You know, it's a good question, isn't it? Let's say somebody has a really brilliant idea, but they can't make it happen by themselves. So to take a brilliant idea from just something that pops into your head into being something that actually comes to fruition, you have to not only be able to have a brilliant idea, you have to be able to communicate your brilliant idea. And David did both. All right, we'll pick up here next time. Talk to you then. Bye.